Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. We talk about that for 50 minutes every afternoon. And today, a rare out on location show as we are live from the All-Tech Ideas Conference. And, of course, All-Tech here in our hometown where we broadcast from in the neighboring area. And a lot of interesting things going on. This conference has been around for quite some time. We're going to find out a little bit about the history of this afternoon as we talk to some of the All-Tech individuals. And then some of the other interesting things that are happening at this conference, which was once kind of focus more on just the agricultural industry, but now branching out into technology, into innovation, into business, all of this that is happening, and pretty fun stuff. So today I was treated by a talk from Coach John Calipari from the UK basketball team that we're all very familiar with just some great ideas of inspiration. Also, Alan Mulally from the Ford organization, who was Ford CEO during their build back time. And Aidan Connolly is going to be joining us in a minute from All-Tech. So all of this and more, so stick around. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. Happy to be with you. And live on location this afternoon from the All-Tech One Ideas Conference here in Lexington, Kentucky at Rupp Arena. And we are joined by Aidan Connolly of All-Tech, the Chief Innovation Officer. Aidan, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being with us. I have to say, I hate to plead my ignorance on this. As long as I've known about All-Tech and Dr. Lyons' great work and all of the terrific products that All-Tech offers, I didn't know about this conference until this year. So that's my fault, obviously, but I've been impressed so far. But tell us about the history of this and what you guys have been doing for so long.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that you're not familiar with the conference, because, of course, the conference was very focused for many years on agriculture, on farming, on what we could do with food. And probably it's been the last two or three years that Dr. Lyons has moved the conference more towards being a business conference, which has also meant that we've expanded the numbers of people attending. I'm talking to you here from the back, from the hidden parts of Rupp Arena behind the stage. And there are 3,000 people out there. I'll be going on in about 30 minutes' time to talk about antibiotics, about what's happening with antibiotic resistance, whether this is a big issue for human health, and you know what we might expect to do to try to reduce it. So that gives you a sense with the fact we had, obviously, Alan Mulally, the gentleman, the leader who turned around the Boeing company and subsequently led the Ford company to success, Steve Wozniak of Apple. It gives you a sense of just how broad this conference has become.
Yeah. And what was it that kind of made you guys expand into this multifaceted approach rather than just kind of talking about the industry that you guys are so much a part of with the agriculture industry? What precipitated that expansion?
I think there's two things going on. Firstly, the company has become bigger, and as it's become bigger, it's become clear to us when we talk about natural nutrition, when we talk about feeding animals naturally, lots of consumers are very interested in that, and they want to know more about that, and they are actually pushing the food business in that direction. So I think from that perspective, discussing it on a wider scale has been very important for us. And I think those same consumers, you see it in the way people are changing their habits with regards to coffee, people drinking Starbucks, and now many, many different types of local coffee or locally produced or toasted coffee. You see it in terms of craft beer. The craft beer movement is extremely important, of course, to Alltech through our Lexington Brewing Company. But basically everything to do with even the way we consume electrical goods, the way we consume eggs and milk, is just changing as people want to show their interests, their goals, their aspirations, and of course some of their values through the way they consume things.
Aidan Connolly with us this afternoon of Alltech. We're talking about the One Conference and the One Idea Conference. And so, Aidan, it seems like as we get more globalized, and you know this from working with Alltech with a number of operations throughout the world, we get more connected, right? I mean, so that's what it is. It's like all of these pieces and parts, we realize just how integrated they really are.
Absolutely. I had the chance to speak to the Senate and a joint committee of the Senate and Congress up in Frankfurt, and they asked me about going global. And I said, look, if I'm an international, if I'm a Kentucky company that wants to go to any country in the world, just realize that Alltech probably has an office there. We have offices in over 130 countries.
Wow.
And in each country, those offices are almost like embassies for the Commonwealth of Kentucky. People in those offices have been to Kentucky. They have a very high opinion of having come here for our conference or for other reasons. And so you have an open door when you're working with those people, even if you're just dropping in for a coffee or just to talk about what business is like in Kazakhstan or Armenia or Brazil or China. I mean, why not go to Alltech first? I think that just shows you how you would never imagine that people in 130 countries have actually been to Kentucky, have been to Lexington, have been to the One Conference, or have come here for some of the trainings we hold during the year. And I think it's a tremendous testament to, as you've already mentioned, about just how connected the world has become.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it's, you know, what surprised me, I guess, I knew this about Dr. Lyons, but it was interesting hearing him share this vision. You guys are, there's no signs of putting a cap on anything, right? I mean, you guys are just expanding into every possible, and it's not just food science technology. It's really, if you can find, and he was kind of presenting this, you know, look for the, what did he call it? The catch, right? Look for the catch. That was his talk about, it's really looking for problems and trying to solve it. It looks like that's your guy's forte.
Entirely. And he does have a clear vision of what he wants, and he does look to stay close to the knitting, as that phrase used to go. That is, he knows how to brew things, he knows how to ferment, he knows
right.
therefore how to grow yeast, he knows the food business, but he's intrinsically curious and is always interested in lots of other areas as well. He is your old style entrepreneur. Somebody who starts a business with $10,000 in 1980 in Lexington, Kentucky, and builds it to $2.5 billion in a relatively short period of time, 35 years. I mean, there aren't too many people like that, not just in Kentucky, but in the world. And he's very proud of the fact that he started his business in Kentucky. He's a very big supporter, as you know, of Kentucky globally. He of course, was born in Ireland, like I was, so he's very proud of that. But nonetheless, his connection to the bluegrass is extremely important to him, and he's very supportive of making sure that that continues to be the case.
Aidan Connolly with us this afternoon of Alltech, the innovation officer. And so what does that mean for you, being the chief innovation officer? What kind of stuff do you need to come up with? What are you expected to do in that role?
That's a very good question. And I think innovations, of course, are what it's all about. I try to keep up with as many new technologies as possible. Unfortunately, the pace of technology coming through is just getting faster and faster. In particular, you see what we can do with cameras, what we can do with sensors, what we can do with analyzing. It seems as though about the time that you learn what some piece of equipment can do in a laboratory, they tell you, oh, that's already been superseded by this other technology. But I
sure.
do think that there's been a bringing it down to the level of apps. So increasingly, a lot of the technologies I'm interested in will and are available on telephones. And those that sort of interconnectivity of data, getting information, analyzing information, that's going to be a very exciting part of the future of Alltech.
So you guys are working on developing more app-based technology for your industry? Is that what I hear you saying?
For industry, but even you see in our One Vision, so this is an exhibit that we have here in Rupp Arena We invested almost $2 million in it to present the idea of the future of food. And it describes a refrigerator connected to your Fitbit, connected to maybe even, who knows, a drone that that basically says, well, based on your calories that you use today through your exercise or otherwise, this is what you need to eat, and reorders the food types of food you like to fill up your refrigerator with it. So when you come home in the evening, you have it ready to go. It's this sort of idea that we can actually start to farm deserts, areas of the world that today are deserts, or we could actually conserve more water, or we could reduce food wastage, or that we could be involved in being much more precise with nutrition. Those are the things that really get us energized, get us really excited about the future, and see why we want to continue investing in food.
Wow. Well, it's interesting to consider that kind of technological connection, and I saw that display that you're talking about. I love this visual of the grocery bag hanging from the drone, which I would hope.
Well,
I would hope you'd find a better packaging.
I had an opportunity to speak to some 20-year-olds, and I was surprised to see in the discussions with them that they didn't see supermarkets as where they were going to be buying food in the future. In fact, they described supermarkets as being kind of a place for older people to hang out.
Oh, wow.
I think they considered me to be one of those older people.
Of course, right? Well, it's exciting to consider all of the things that you guys are working on and the technology that's out there. And so we talk about the globalization and what's happening. How many, at 130 companies represented by Alltech, how many of those are represented at this conference? Do you happen to know what countries are here?
Yeah, so of the 130 countries, we have just short of 100 represented, approximately 88 or 90 countries. So you've got, you know, countries that are close by, like Canada, Mexico, Brazil. But we have a huge number of people who have come in from China. I think close to 80 people from China. Brazil itself has 200 people have come. There was a very large group at our international dinner last night from Spain. I think about 40 people from Spain. And one of the acquisitions we made in Ontario, they bust down 65 of their customers who are involved in even things like production of ducks for meat and for eggs, different types of milk. We have a lot of people coming in talking about grain production, fruits, vegetables, flowers. So it is food in the, and of course beverages, it's food in the broadest range that you can imagine. It's not just meat, milk, and eggs.
Aidan Connolly with us this afternoon of Alltech. And Aidan, I have to tell you, it's almost, to me, in a weird sort of way, it's almost like the state fair that I grew up with, right? So you would have all of this industry, all of this agricultural industry represented, but then there would be something in it for me because there were rides on the Midway, right? So it's a similar sort of, like, all of this is represented, but then there's this great and amazing, you know, business acumen that is being represented by some of the most incredible speakers that you guys have. And it's you know, I think there's really something in this for everyone. I met a gentleman, you were talking about the ducks and eggs. I met a guy on the elevator going down to the press area who was from El Salvador, and he represents a poultry magazine from El Salvador. And I'm like, wow, you're talking about a niche, right? It's amazing. Aiden, we're running out of time, unfortunately.
Chicken meat continues to be the meat that people like to eat. It's cheap and it's easy to work with. And if we're going to feed the world, I think chicken will probably very, very important in El Salvador and everywhere else.
Good deal. Aidan, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Aidan Connolly with Alltech. More to come. I'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Around almost hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, almost hour. On location this afternoon for the Alltech One Ideas Conference at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. And I have certainly had an education so far with this. not knowing that it ever existed until this year. And I was fascinated by some of the topics and some of the speakers. So I decided to come take a look, and I certainly have not been disappointed. Do we have Becky? Is Becky with us?
Yes.
All right, Becky. Hello, how are you? Becky Timmons joins us as well of Alltech. She is the Global Director of Applications Research and Quality Assurance. Welcome. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. So this has been going on for what, 30 some odd years now? Is that right?
Yes, this is our 35th, I believe, international symposium.
Wow. And how many of those have you been a part of?
Oh, about 30. And it just keeps getting bigger and more interesting every year.
Yeah. Well, and as we were talking with Aiden earlier, this is something that honestly I knew nothing about until this year. And,
wow.
And being a part, yeah, as that, yeah. And in my own backyard, and little did I know, right? It's kind of like I've never been to the Derby, even though I know it happens, right?
I've been to the Derby a few times, but in fairness, this conference was more geared towards our customers internationally, as well as students and educational institutions, and more focused towards agriculture. The last couple of years, we've moved it more towards a business and opening it up a lot. So it's grown considerably.
Now, I understand that, I guess, so Steve Wozniak is talking, his talk is tomorrow afternoon. Is that what I understand?
That's right. Tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Now, is there still an opportunity to come down and see him? If somebody wanted to come down and do a one day and just be a part of this, can they do that?
My understanding is that this afternoon there will be a one day pass released. So I don't have complete details on that, but you should be able to find it on social media or perhaps the news this evening.
All right, good deal. All right, well, we'll watch for that and we'll see if we can see it because I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to say.
It'll be fascinating.
So what are you working on now with Alltech? What's kind of your focus at this point?
My focus, again, I'm product development, so I'm always working on quite a few different projects. But one of my main things over about the last 6 or 7 years has been our focus on algae development.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating.
Replacing fish oil and providing new/old ingredients back into the food chain.
Interesting. So tell us about this. So the fish oil, as I understood, because I saw Dr. Lyons's presentation today, fish oil is in high demand and a diminishing supply. So you guys are looking at bypassing the middleman, which is the fish, and going directly to the algae, which produces the oil, right?
Right. And it's quite interesting because if you look historically, the maximum the average amount of fish oil that is produced or collected every year is about 1 million tons. That goes down. It fluctuates a little bit depending on weather conditions and, fish harvesting, that type of thing. But the maximum is about 1 million tons a year.
Mm-hmm.
People consume exactly as much as is produced.
Wow.
So a large percentage of that goes to aquaculture or fish farming, and a growing segment of it goes directly to human nutrition, all the fish oil capsules. Do you take fish oil by any chance?
Well, I have. I don't right now, but I've certainly been a fish oil consumer, yes.
Yes. So a lot of people, and that's a growing segment. So as that segment grows, there's less and less available to aquaculture.
Okay.
And aquaculture, because there's more and more people, we're told to eat more fish, it's healthy for us, that's a growing demand. And so if there's less fish oil to feed to the fish, and that is a segment that wants to grow, what are they going to do? So the reason that we are told to eat 1 to 2 servings of fish a day or a week is for brain health, heart health, eye health.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Right.
And
omega-3.
And that's due to the omega-3 DHA that's in the fish. But again, fish don't produce that. They get that from their food chain, and it originates with algae.
Wow.
So what we are doing is producing that same algae at large volumes and under very controlled conditions, so we don't have to worry about the contaminants that you hear about with fish oil, such as mercury and dioxin.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that. So ours is very pure and clean. And it's going to have those same high fat, high DHA attributes as if you collected fish oil.
Wow.
So it's a very nice replacement. And we've done all the trials to show that we can cost effectively replace fish oil.
Wow. So tell me about the what did you call it? The aqua what? What was the term you used for fish farming?
Yes.
What was
aquaculture?
Aquaculture.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's fish farming, and so that's a growing segment. And in fact, more than 50% of the fish that we consume now is produced from fish farming. So just like all other farming, you cannot collect enough from the sea. It's overfished, and you know you just can't collect enough. So you have to go into an actual farming situation. And then you would hear negative, oh, well, the fish aren't going to be as good and as healthy. It's all dependent on what you actually feed to the fish.
Mm-hmm. And so,
the nutrition is very important.
So, but the fish oil that you guys produce is actually fed to the fish in the aquaculture environment, is what you're saying?
Our algae replaces the fish oil that would be fed. So depending on the type of fish, but let's say you're producing salmon, typically it used to take about 3 pounds of caught fish to produce each pound of salmon. So that means they would have to collect fish, grind it up into fish meal and fish oil, and it would take 3 of those to produce 1 salmon. So that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So then they got more efficient, but it still takes more than 1-to-1. And if you start reducing the amount of fish meal and fish oil that you feed to produce salmon, they have to replace it with some other protein and fat. So they've been replacing it with things like soy oil. What that does is, first of all, you start having a little bit of problem with the health and productivity of the fish, but also they're not going to have those same omega-3s, which you need for your health. So then instead of being told to eat 1 serving of salmon a week, now you're suddenly having to eat 2 servings of salmon a week. It just keeps going up.
Wow. So this is pretty fascinating. Are you guys the only ones doing this that you know of, or are there other organizations out there trying to do this algae technology?
There is a company that was called Martec and is now DSM. They are producing a similar algae and extracting the oil. So they're selling an oil that goes directly into human nutrition. So that would be like algae capsules, or maybe like putting algae oil into milk. What we're doing is leaving the whole algae, feeding it to animals, just to get it back into the food chain and get it naturally incorporated into the fat, the milk, meat, and eggs, as well as having the health benefit to the animals.
Hmm. So it's not just fish that's eating this. What you're saying is you could feed it to livestock, you could feed it to poultry, and you could encourage the growth of the health of their product with more of this omega-3.
Absolutely. And if you think about the way animals used to be fed, you'd feed them backyard scraps. You know, if you had your chickens out back or pigs, you'd throw them out for fish. And it was just naturally in the food chain. We tend to not do that as much anymore. So now we're overfeeding corn and soy and distillers grains and things like that. So you do not naturally get those omega-3s in meat, milk, and eggs. This allows us to do that again and get it back in the food chain.
Wow. So you don't want grass-fed livestock, you want algae-fed livestock.
Actually, I want both. I think grass-fed is fabulous, and then you do a finishing with some algae.
Wow. Becky Timmons is with us this afternoon. She is a Global Director of Application Research and Quality Assurance with Alltech. Fascinating conversation on what they're doing with algae growth. And I guess this is kind of right down the same lines of so much of what Dr. Lyon's stuff is about, because it all kind of came from beer making, this fermentation, this kind of, there's got to be something in that process of growing algae, I'm guessing, as well.
It's all very similar. You're doing a same type of fermentation. We do it in large fermenters. You are feeding it the same way you would yeast and when you're making beer. And we actually have some yeast as an ingredient in the whole fermentation of algae. So, yes, very similar.
Wow. Almost out of time, but any hope for an algae beer on the market anytime soon?
You know, people ask that, and you wouldn't want to use the high-fat DHA, because that would tend to kind of have maybe a fishy taste. That wouldn't be very good in beer.
I see. Well, but could, omega-3 beer, come on, right?
Yeah, you could use some of the high-carbohydrate algae, absolutely.
Who needs a Michelob Ultra when you've got an omega-3 beer from Alltech, right?
I mean, come on. That's right.
Well, Becky, it's fascinating to hear what you guys are doing, and really exciting to know that, you know, this project that I guess obviously began with, as Dr. Lyons was talking about, looking at what the challenge is out there. Well, this is diminishing, right? You know, there's a supply and demand issue here, and for you guys to come in and to take this direction is pretty amazing. So commend you for that, Mud. Yeah, good
stuff.
Thank
you. Yep. All right. And yes, and it directly relates to human nutrition still. You know, it's just through the whole food chain. So absolutely, yeah. It's very interesting.
Wow, well, good stuff. Well, Becky, I appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you for coming down to join us.
All right, you're certainly welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, thank you. And yes, we are live this afternoon from the AllTech One Ideas Conference, and really interesting stuff when you think about all of this that's happening that I think that oftentimes we kind of take for granted, or we just simply don't know is happening. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about human nutrition in a moment with a nutritionist from AllTech, so stick around, more to come. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. On location this afternoon, down at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky for the AllTech One Ideas Conference. And I've admitted that I didn't even know anything about this until this year. Steve Wozniak caught my attention. As it turns out, his talk is tomorrow afternoon when I will be live in my show. So the one thing I really, really wanted to see, I won't be able to, but I'm learning so much. It's pretty fascinating. And Nikki Putnam is with us this afternoon. She is a registered dietitian and nutritionist with AllTech. Nikki, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you. So I'm learning a lot. And, you know, I've always known about AllTech being a part of our community for so many years. And what I find interesting is, I knew it was kind of a livestock or, you know, agribusiness sort of endeavor. But a lot of what you guys are doing affects us as humans. And that's what you're all about, right?
Absolutely. I have kind of a unique position over at AllTech. Like you mentioned, I'm a registered dietitian, so it means I'm a human nutritionist. We're focused on animal nutrition at AllTech, but what we're trying to do is link the two. If we raise healthier animals by providing them more nutrition, we can then provide the consumer with better food products, higher quality, more nutrient dense.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to do this through technology because we think, you know, the most healthy creature is that which is allowed to just roam free and find its own food and whatever, you know, in this kind of organic environment. But there's ways to biomedically, if you will, or biochemically do this even better. And I think that's what you guys are doing, right?
That's exactly right. So I think we want to go back to nature as much as we can. So we like to think that free roaming would be the best option. But unfortunately, a lot of our farmlands or those grazing lands have been depleted over so many years of animals, of livestock being out there. They just don't have the complete nutrition that animal needs, not only to be as healthy as they can be, but to make the meat, milk, and eggs that they produce as healthy as it can be for us. So that's precisely what we're working on, is providing them probiotics, providing them organic minerals, providing them with DHA, omega-3 fatty acids to make sure that they're as healthy as they can possibly be and making those food products healthier for consumers.
Nikki Putnam with us this afternoon of AllTech, and I think that this is a hot topic because we hear so much about things like antibiotics or even just malnourishment or poor treatment of animals, and that's somehow got to affect us, right? I mean, there's got to be something that's bothersome to humans when we're consuming that kind of protein.
That's exactly right. And a lot of it, I think, is just poor nutrition. So interestingly enough, a lot of those antibiotics used in animal health, you know, preventative health or treating them when they're sick, aren't necessarily passed on to the human, but it also doesn't mean that it's making the animal as healthy as they can be. So interestingly, we are working on antibiotic-free or reduced antibiotic programs for a lot of our producers by simply increasing the nutrition in the diet, like I mentioned, those probiotics, making sure the gut can be as healthy as it can, because that's the root of our immune system, both for humans and animals. So we're trying to take a preventative approach with natural nutritional choices instead of having to use so many medications for treatment and prevention of sickness.
Yeah. Well, I heard Dr. Mark Lyons talk earlier, Dr. Pierce Lyons' son, talking about sugar, right? I mean, just the crazy addictions that we have as humans to this and what that can do. And you think about something that is as prevalent, right? I mean, it's hard to get away from that. But whatever we can do to increase our own health, especially through good proteins, that's good stuff. So I've heard, Nikki, that, you know, this is that protein in 30 years or 20 years or 50 years, or whatever the prediction is, meat, the three things you just mentioned, poultry, meat, eggs, these could go away. Do you see that actually happening, or are you guys on the forefront of preventing something of that nature from occurring?
I'm actually really happy that you asked me that question. We have a really cool program this year called the One Vision, and you actually get to walk through and see kind of what we're seeing as our vision for food production and consumption of the future. So this is looking at how are we going to feed 9 billion people on Earth that they're predicting by the year 2050? Because as you mentioned, we're depleting those resources. Are we going to have chicken in 2050? Are we going to have beef? Are we going to have milk? So those are things we're working towards, particularly with our sustainability and renewability initiatives. And one of the biggest things we're doing there is trying to not only benefit the animal and the consumer, like we talked about, but benefit the environment. So everything we're doing is to not take more away than we're putting back in. And that's what we're trying to encourage our producers to do as well, so that we do have protein and high quality protein available for the next 7, 8, 9 generations.
Wow. So you guys have a plan. I mean, if the producers that you work with, let's say hypothetically, everyone got on your plan, we would have nothing to worry about.
Yes. That's our goal.
Well, that's great.
It's a lofty one, I know, but we're hoping to get everyone on board. And I think a lot of what this conference is about is it's called The One. So we're focusing on one idea, you know, one big choice can make a huge impact on the world. So we're trying to inspire people to just make little choices that might benefit, like we mentioned, the animal, the consumer, but the environment. You know, think about the future. Think about your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. What will be left for them on Earth once we're long gone?
Yeah. Well, Nikki, the thing that I love is that as a nutritionist, you can work with a company that promotes eating more meat and drinking more beer. I mean, come on, what more could you ask for?
Well, that's exactly right. And I get that question a lot. I said, now, wait a second. As a human nutritionist, you're out here talking about red meat and dairy, and you're talking about beer and bourbon. And actually, I'm a big fan of all of the above. I do think truly that moderation is key. So all of those things are a part of a healthy diet, and they, of course, make life more enjoyable, and that's really what it's all about.
Nikki, I got into a conversation at a party over the weekend with a young man who's working out a lot, and I was kind of where he was 20 years ago as a 7-day-a-week gym guy, and I had like, you know, 200 to 300 grams of protein in my diet every day. And can you overdo it? Can you do too much protein? Is that possible?
You can, yes. It's difficult for people to get there, but I do get this question a lot from people who are lifting a lot of weights, like you said, 7 days a week in the gym.
Right.
And you can.
Right.
Actually, eating too much protein can put some stress on your kidneys because you need to excrete a lot of hormones and a lot of enzymes to break those things down. So you can eat too much protein. Yes, that is true.
So even if you're hydrating yourself repeatedly, that still could be a problem.
It could be. You know, the hydration is key, absolutely, and making sure you're getting enough fiber as well, because sometimes those diets that are too high in protein and not high enough in fruits and vegetables can actually pose issues for the digestive tract as well.
Yeah, that's true. but it's what you're saying is it's tough to get to that point for the average individual. You'd have to really, really overdo it. So if you're doing a gram of lean protein or even protein supplement per body pound, That's healthy?
That's
okay?
Typically good for someone who is exerting a lot of energy in the gym. So someone who's doing a lot of weightlifting, doing heavy weightlifting, yes, that would be appropriate. For, in general, the average adult who's maybe not doing that thing, I typically base on kilograms, and that's just because we're an international company, so a lot of people do have the metric system, but we do 0.8 to 1 gram per kilogram of body weight, and that's going to be quite a bit lower, and that's just because the average person who's not doing a lot of weightlifting doesn't need that much protein to rebuild that muscle they're breaking down.
But that's still probably way more protein than most people eat.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, I would say so. In a lot of Western or developed countries, especially here in the U.S., most people probably are eating that amount. That's because we eat a lot of meat. We eat eggs for breakfast. You know, we're on the Greek yogurt craze. Everything we want protein in now. That's kind of our thing, is we want protein. Right. So in today's day and age in the U.S., I would venture to guess most people are getting that. In a lot of other countries where they're not as meat focused, they're probably not going overboard.
I gotcha. Nikki Putnam with us this afternoon, registered dietitian and nutritionist with Alltech, and we're talking about feeding animals good stuff, and because the animals are fed well, we then are fed well because of this. And you know, I really just learned, I didn't even really understand that you could put omega-3s, but it makes sense. I mean, we do this supplement, but you can put that into beef, you could put it into pork, you could put, you know, you can actually feed these animals with this type of nutrient, and it becomes that much more healthy for us. I'm fascinated by that.
It's really interesting. So our algae plant is over in Winchester, Kentucky. And what we're doing is we're sustainably growing DHA omega-3 fatty acids with algae. So a lot of people think of DHA is coming through fatty fish like salmon, tuna, mackerel. Mm. But those fish don't naturally contain DHA. They actually get DHA into their tissues by eating microalgae through their food chain in the ocean. Wow. So what we're trying to do is we're actually skipping the middleman, which is the fish, because you know, we're overfishing the seas, we're taking too many fish out, and we're not leaving enough protein for people to be consuming, and we're just growing that algae ourselves. So we can put that DHA into the diets of, you had mentioned, beef cattle, we can do dairy cattle, we can do turkey, we can do chicken. It's really fascinating, as you mentioned, because not only can we then provide that essential fatty acid to the animal for the animal's health and animal health benefits, but if we up that level in their diet, we actually see it expressed in their meat, milk, and eggs, which then is putting DHA omega-3 fatty acids into eggs, into milk, into steak, into pork, and they weren't there before. So for those people that don't like those fatty fish, or the fatty fish might be too pricey for them, or in a landlocked state like Kentucky, we don't really have it as readily available. They're finding that they can get DHA through foods that they already like eating, they're already familiar with eating, and are readily available.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Nikki Putnam with us. We're almost out of time. And so, Nikki, I'm guessing that we want to eat the egg yolk because that's where this fat would be stored more so than the egg white. Am I correct in that?
You're exactly right in there. And there's actually a lot of great nutrients in the egg yolk. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about because I think for so long the egg yolk got a bad rap for cholesterol.
And unfortunately, we're running out of time, Nikki. I hate to cut you short, but I would love to talk more about that, but we got to run. Nikki, thank you so much. Nikki Putnam with us,
Thanks so much. We're out of time.
All right. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.